Have you seen a child who wants something in the house where he has access to everything that a father has? Have you seen anything like that? Do they even worry? Do they even pray? When they need it, I need it now. Because they live in a system of access.
Hello, Saints. Welcome to another hopeful message from Covenant Family Chapel. In these times of fear and anxiety, you need a word that will uplift us. We need to remember the words of 2 Timothy 1:7, which says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Fear does not come from God. To come into the knowledge and understanding of such biblical teachings for these times, let's listen to author and teacher Neil Archiampong with a message of hope.
I would like to pick up from where our youth left off. They showed us about the prodigal son. The choir sang about it. The children who danced also talked about the chains that were broken off that prodigal son. And today I want to talk to you about the prodigal son. Would that be okay for us to do that? I know somebody will be saying, but that is not an Easter message. There is no way you will be reconciled to the Father without going through Jesus. So this is resurrection message. Amen? And we want to take time to go through God's word together. Now, I need you to understand very carefully that the parable of the prodigal son is a resurrection parable. Let's all say that together. It's a resurrection parable. Please listen very carefully. I won't be long today. A parable. Let me define a few things about a parable so that we don't make some mistakes. A parable is often told to convey a moral truth or a life lesson. A parable is often taught to convey a moral truth or a life lesson, and it always stresses only one thing. There are many lessons you can learn from it, but it has to be connected to the one thing that the one who told the parable is actually saying. Are you guys with me? And so you find that most of the time people make mistakes, like they read a parable about the wheat and the tares, and then they say that the field is the church. It's wrong, because the field cannot be the church when he talks about Satan. And then he talks about the other thing. So what I'm trying to stress is that you always need to pay attention to the one thing that the parable stresses. Are you guys with me? And then the third principle about parables is that you must always look at the kingdom dimension to it. The kingdom what? Dimension. So parables teaches what? A life lesson. It stresses only one central point, even though you can learn several things from it. And thirdly, you must always remember the kingdom dimension. So the parable of the prodigal son, which is should actually be called the lost son, stresses one important principle, and it is simply this: you and I returning to access. Everybody say returning. Returning. To access. Tell the person sitting next to you, he is going to unchurch you today. We are doing kingdom today. Amen. Now, many people, when they talk about this parable, they always make it about the prodigal son. But the parable actually is about the older brother who never left the house. It's about all of us who have been on God's farm for too long. And we are thinking about doing something that the prodigal son is doing. We jealous their lifestyle. Meanwhile, the father says, all I have is yours. All I have is what? Yours. This parable should never be about sin. It is about access, and it's about ownership. I said it's about what? And? So let's define our terms, and we will begin. Access simply means you are being able to use resources that are not yours, but you're able to use it freely because of your relationship with the owner. Because of your relationship with him, you will notice that the prodigal son lived with the father. The word father in Hebrew, we call it Abba. In Greek, it's called pater. It simply means source. He lived with the source, yet he wanted a bucket full when he was living in the river. I wanted you to pay attention. The parable has been misinterpreted, so I want us to put it into kingdom terms. We must come to that place as a people of God that we fully understand what God is doing. God wants us to live in access. Everybody say access. Access. Not ownership. All right, let me make a statement. In the kingdom of God, prosperity, well-being, money, all those things has to do with access, not ownership. Let's all say that together. In a kingdom, prosperity, wealth, well-being is about access, not ownership. In democracy, we own things. We own our house. We own our cars. If you live in the kingdom, which is what God is in, you don't own a thing. He owns it all. You all remember from our few last lessons? He says, heaven is my throne, the earth is mine. He says, the whole earth is mine, including the people that live in it. So if he owns it, you don't own anything. We need to get that thing back into our psyche. You don't own what? Anything. God owns it all. Therefore, we must fully understand that as a church of God, we come to that understanding that God wants us to walk in the system of access, not the system of ownership. In the system of what? Not the system of? All right, let me illustrate it this very way. How many of you parents make your children work before you feed them? Any parent who does that? The little house chores they do is not equal to the things you do for them. Are they? The fact that they live in my house, they eat. But as long as they live in the house, they have access to my wealth. Are you following me? I don't want you to misinterpret the parable of the prodigal son, because a lot of Christians do that. But the day my son decides they don't want my wealth and they walk out of home and wants to go live elsewhere and live their own lives, they are looking for ownership. They don't have access to my wealth anymore. Are you guys with me? That is what this parable is about. So you let's pick up the reading and I'll fill you in as we go. Luke chapter 15, let me read the first few verses. Jesus is speaking here. He said also, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate I have coming to me. So he distributed his assets to them. Now, do you realize how this boy is so disrespectful? I own something, you want some, and you demand it. Doesn't it sound like young people today? And then when he demanded it, the father did not go into any argument with him. He simply divided everything, and he gave it to him. Here's a lesson to learn. The son only changed when he encountered pain. Parents, sometimes it's not worth fighting your children. We all want to protect them, but sometimes it's not important. Let them encounter it. Then they will come to understand, that old man, the crazy one said it. Now, let's see who is crazy. You or them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered together all he had and traveled to a distant country where he squandered his estate in foolish living. Now, he says, Father, give me. Everybody say, give me. What is the younger son looking for? He's looking for ownership. He lives in a river, but he wants a bucket full of water. Because if you live in my house, you have access to my wealth. God is saying, I own everything in the world. If you live under me, you have access to what I have. But Christians and people of today, we want our own. And democracy has taught us about ownership. We want to own our things. How do you get into luck? Have you seen a child who wants something in the house where he has access to everything that a father has? Have you seen anything like that? Do they even worry? Do they even pray? When they need it, I need it now. Because they live in a system of access. That is what God wants you and I to live in, where we can access his wealth and not worry. So he says, don't be worried. Your heavenly Father knows you need them, because it's a system of what? Access. But this boy is living in a house where he has access to so much wealth, and the guy just wants a bucket full of water. And that is how crazy most of us are. Excuse my English. We have so much at our beck and call, yet we want our own. We want to get out. You know, for me to stay here and access everything, and then maybe God is going to control me. I don't want to be controlled. I once spoke to a guy who was in prison, who had come out. He said, Pastor, nobody would hire me. And I said, when you used to be in prison, the government who put you there was responsible for your feeding, your clothing, your health. Now that you are out, you are responsible for it. Freedom is never free. It comes with responsibility. The boy was asking his father, give me, let me get out of here. The father gives it to him. He leaves the place. And not long, the scripture says, he never expected there was going to be a famine. Whenever you start walking away from God, please pay attention, because there are things you have not factored in. Verse 14, after he has spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he had nothing. Everybody say he had nothing. Then he went to work for one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his field to feed pigs. You don't want a system of access, but you want a system of pigs. A system where sin is abundant. A system that keeps you in the same place. Jesus is telling the parable at this time because he starts with a parable of the lost sheep, where he says, a man has 100 sheep, one gets lost, I go after. Then he talks about 10 coins, one is missing, and then he goes after the one. Then he gets to the two boys. But notice the father never goes after the child. But he tells all the parables at the same time, because he's making us understand that the father had an attitude of going after one, but when you willfully walk out, he does not come after you. I say this to our children, you grew up in church, and everything out there looks nice to you. When you have not eaten a particular burger, you always think it is better. Do not go eat, because some of us who have already eaten it knows it ain't better. You already have the best thing. Keep to that. Are you listening to me? So this boy, finally, verse 17, read with me from the screen if you can, shall we? Pause. When he came to? The King James says, when he came to himself. You know how anytime we have a problem, people who live in a system of ownership, whenever they have a problem, they want to go to somebody. Because we are told the boy went to a citizen of that country to go look for help. How do you get help by someone who lives in the same system and suffering the same way? I am happy that finally he came to his senses. In other words, he took inventory of his life and had a reality check. And realize, no, I got to go back to the system of what? Access. because this ownership thing is not working. Many of us are like that. We have walked away from God and we have decided we wanted to own your house, own your cars, own everything, you know. You are your own man. And God is saying, no, I created you to live in my house in relationship with me. This is how I want you to live. May we come to our senses. Amen. May we take a stock of our lives and begin to see that we are not doing it right. Verse 18, he says, I will get up and I will go to my father. So he did not only take the inventory, but he acted on it. I'll go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired workers. The guy's mindset is warped. When he was living in the father's house, was he a son? Was he a son? Few days outside, does that deprogram him from a son into a hired worker? That is what the system of ownership does for us. My children don't have to work in my home to eat. But when you have to clean your own bathroom, I will not do that for you. We must come to that place, like this guy, that after he came to his senses, he decided, I'm going to the Father. I want to pause for a second and ask every single one of you, look introspectively into your own life right now and ask yourself the question, the way you are living, are you happy? Because this boy, who supposedly was going to have fun, now is not having fun. How many of you know that fun looks good from the beginning? Till when you are far away from the Father's house, then fun turns out to become what? Something else. What shall it profit a man or a woman if you gain the entire world? You have cars, you have houses, you have everything, but then you live in a system where you are set up for the judgment of God. What do you gain? The answer is obvious. Nothing. Nothing. So he gets up, he goes home. Verse 19. He's now home and he's beginning to speak to his father. Let me go back to verse 18. He said, I will get up, I'll go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. So he's doing a self-talk. He's talking to himself, right? He says, when I get there, this is what I'm going to say. So he's there now. He said, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired workers. So he got up and went to his father. But while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him. How did the father see the son from a long way off? Because he was always expecting that one day he will come back home. God is expecting that you will come home. Because the system you have chosen to live in, he knows will choke you. Many of us are living in a pig system, ownership system. We wake up every morning, Mondays. Anybody who has a 9-to-5 job knows that Mondays are one of the most crazy days. If you ask them in the morning, where are you going? Going to work. It's a place you hate, but you have to go because ownership brings bondage, access, brings freedom. Whom the Son sets free. It's not in ownership, but it's in access. He is free indeed. And as Jesus spoke to the tax collectors and the sinners and the Pharisees who were gathered when he was telling this parable, he's reminding them that you have to learn to be in the system of access which the Father gives. Verse 21. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father told his servants, quick, bring out the best robe. Everybody say best robe. Because our father is a king. Princes wear robes, not ordinary things. So notice a restoration is taking place here. He said, bring the best robe and a ring on his finger. In the Jewish culture, ring meant access. In those days, every family had a ring. And on the ring is the family seal. So if you went to a store like a credit card, you press it in the wax, and whatever you bought is charged to your daddy's name. It did not only mean access. Ring also meant the family name, that whenever you wore it and something happened to you and somebody looked at it, he knows who your daddy was. So the father was reminding us, and as Jesus told the parable, he was simply saying, hey, a ring was put on the boy's finger to remind him that he originally is not just a king, but he belonged to my family. And finally, he was given sandals, because servants never wore sandals. It's only people who were wealthy and in the palace, who had sandals to wear. In this parable, God is reminding us we are his own. And when we come back, he will reinstate us into who we truly are. Anybody ready to come home? Anybody willing to say, I am tired with the system of ownership. I want to come back to the house. The bucket full of water is over. I want to come back to the river. Amen. I hope the young people are listening. I would always expect my little girl to stay with me so I take care of you until someone come in. And if he can't take care of you the way I take care of you, then you know your way back home. Someday she will hear this message and thank me. Access. Everybody say access.
Access.
All these young people rushing out. You go. Freedom ain't free. It comes with responsibility. I can wait when I'm 18. You will pay bills also.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. You're 18, you move out, then I still pay your bill. No. It's not happening. You will pay your own. Verse 23, he says, then bring the fattened calf. You all know the fattened calf, right? Now, American kids wouldn't know it. But some of us who grew up where I grew up, you remember when it's getting to Christmas, your parents would have actually raised a particular chicken, right? It is the fattened, the one has been prepared for a special occasion. So guys, bring that one out. And let's have partay, because my boy has come home. Let's look at the reason he gives. Let's all read verse 24 together from the screen, because he gives us the reason. Shall we? Read. He said, because the son of mine was dead and is alive again. There's your resurrection. He said, this son of mine was what? And he is? He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. So according to Jesus, death is leaving access into ownership, and resurrection is returning into access. So when we sing, and he arose, and he arose, and he arose, it only makes sense when we move out of the system of ownership and come to live under the system of access of the Father. Until then, resurrection means nothing. But Jesus didn't end the story there, because the story was not for the tax collectors. It was for the Pharisees who kept complaining. The Bible says when the Pharisees began to complain, then Jesus told this series of parables. So look there with me. Picking up from verse 25. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he summoned one of the servants. We saw it in the movie, right? Now his older son was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he summoned one of the servants, questioning what these things meant. Your brother is here, he told him, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. See, God is always ready to welcome anyone who receives him. Please, if you don't look at this parable in a religious setting, because that's not how I'm looking at it, I'm looking at it from the kingdom setting, then the son who left and the son who stayed, they are still family. Do you see that? So those who don't know Christ, they are still your family. Yes. Amen. So stop fighting them and welcome them home. Last few verses and I'll close. Then he became angry. This is the older son. And didn't want to go in. So his father came out and pleaded with him. But he replied to his father, look, I have been slaving. I have been slaving many years. Could it be? And it's true. The many Christians who are symbolic of the older brother, we think we are slaving for God. So he will give us a goat. Not even the fattened calf. Is it too much to ask that after I have fasted and prayed and been in church for so many years, that God, you bless me so that me too I can be happy? And God has said, this is not about ownership. You live in the system of assets, but your thinking and your mindset is like a person who wants ownership. Because I've been slaving. The people in ownership slave to get. How come those in access also want to slave to get? So it was not only the prodigal son who needed resurrection, but the older brother also needed resurrection. Resurrection meant different things to them. One was a change of mindset because you already lived in the house. The other was to return to the house and change the way he taught. Are you with me? Everybody, read with me verse 31. All right, hold on. Let's go back. Let's see ourselves first. Look at verse 29. Shall we? Read, go. But he replied to his father, look, I have been slaving many years for you, and I have never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me a goat so that I could celebrate. Pause. All he wants is a goat. But the father has killed a fattened calf. Verse 30, go. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your assets with prostitute, was he really there? He's lying. You slaughtered, come on, let's keep reading. You slaughtered the fattened calf for him. Verse 31, so crucial. Pay attention. Read. Son, he said to him, you are always with me. Pause. You are always with me. Say that again. He's saying you have access. You are here in the house. You are always with me. And if you have access, then everything I have is yours.
Thank you for listening to another Kingdom Impacting message. Have you been looking for a place to call home? Need a place that makes you feel welcome and valued? At Covenant Family Chapel, our community is waiting for people just like you to find their way home. We invite you to visit during one of our Sunday services to discover how you can spread your wings in our friendly and reposeful worship environment. Visit Covenant Family Chapel this Sunday for our 10 o'clock service, located at 10307 Coppermine Road, Woodsboro, Maryland. To interact with pastor and teacher Neil Archie Ampong, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, all at Covenant One Family. Call 301-696-8555 and visit the church's website at covenantfamilychapel.org.